We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Now, from Learfield.
Pistols firing! Touchdown, Oklahoma State!
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. Here is your host, Dave Hunziker.
Visiting with the Cowboys seniors here, and joining us now is Tavarus Shine. And you're thinking, wait a second, Tavarus Shine, he's not a senior, but he is graduating, or I guess has graduated, already graduated. So he has decided that he is going to walk on senior night and move on from Stillwater. So first question, obviously, is this, Tavarus, and thanks for sitting down with us. So why'd you decide this was the time?
I'm graduating in May, right there. I really don't have an idea of what I'm going to do yet. I just know.
Hang on just a second. I'm going to adjust this.
Okay.
All right, there we go. That's better. All right, we're going to start over, Eric. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Catching up with the Cowboys seniors, and joining us now is Tavarus Shine. And if you're listening, you're thinking, wait a second, Tavarus Shine, I've got a roster in front of me. He's a junior, but he'll be graduating in May, so he's decided he's going to complete his Oklahoma State career, and he sits down with us now. And so the first question is this: why did you decide this was the time?
I am graduating in May. I haven't really made the choice on what I'm going to do yet, but because I'm trying to focus on trying to help my team, so I'm really just trying not to let my mind go off and start thinking of things afterwards. But I do want to focus on like winning these games and trying to get my team into the NCAA tournament and do my best job. But I mean, I am graduating. I mean, I feel healthy. I feel good. So I really don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Well, fair enough. Is this a decision you just made recently, or have you made this decision some time ago?
No, this is just a recent decision. I didn't know I was going to walk on senior night. It was like a question that they just asked me a couple of days ago.
And then it struck your minds like, wait a second, I need to make a decision here.
With me being a junior, they didn't know if I was going to walk.
Right.
But Coach Mike and them said that they want to honor all the things I've done and, you know, just show that all my accomplishments, so they're going to let me walk.
Fair enough. Would there be any chance you would change your mind and come back if that happens? Or do you think you probably decided, nah, I'm probably going to move on? Or do you
know? I have no clue as of right now. I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 either way, but I really don't know.
Well, we might have two senior nights for you. That would be okay. We'll have two big cakes or whatever we have. So at any rate, Tell us about your journey. You've had an interesting...
Man, yeah.
Put it into words.
I had an unbelievable journey. A blessed journey, though. That's my word I like to use for it. It's been a blessing for me.
Despite all the things that have gone on? What makes you say that? Because you've had a lot.
Yeah, with everything. it's a blessing because, you know, I'm still playing. I mean, I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. My family's still around me. I haven't lost none of my loved ones. So it's always a blessing. I mean, coming out, I mean, I've heard so much doubt about me. You know, guys thinking I can't play at this level or thinking, oh, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that or I might not come back and play at the level I was playing at. And every year I feel like that I've proven them wrong, you know. And so it's a blessing.
Is your back completely well?
Yeah, my back. I have no problems with my back at all. I don't. I mean, my back is back good. I just feel good. My back is fine.
It bothered you. I didn't realize this until you had shared this with me early this season. I didn't know how much it was bothering you prior to last year. It had given you trouble for a while. Is that right?
Yeah, my back had given me problems for 2 years. I say 2 years, yeah. Right after my freshman year, came back that summer, my sophomore year, beginning my sophomore year summer, hurt my back. And it hurt me from then all the way till I had surgery. So that was about 2 years.
But the trip home from Maui put it over the top, so to speak, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was hurting, but the trip from Maui just was like my breaking point. Like, it's hurting too bad. I can't keep going. I'm not helping myself.
So you had three different coaches the last 3 years, Coach Boynton being the final coach in the group. What made this year enjoyable for you? What was unique about him that was good for you?
Oh, man, so much things about this year that's unique. First, starting with the team. This is a unique bunch of guys. You know, we have so many versatile players. And also, I mean, a big part is Coach Mike. You know, it's his first year. And I feel like he's done a great job with this team. You know, nobody knew how we were going to do. You know, we only had one main focus coming in. Was a big name was Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, so nobody really knew what he was going to do. And I feel like Coach Mike put us together pretty well.
How is he different than other coaches you've played for?
I feel like he's kind of similar to Coach Ford because he listens to his players. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a big thing for me, you know, just being around a lot of coaches in my life, not just in college, but in my life. And I've always seen the coaches that listen to their players and who are able to fix, you know what I'm saying, or listen to
right.
what they have going on or what they see on the court and adjust to that is the biggest thing.
How fresh are you guys mentally right now as a team?
I feel like we just like right when the season started. I mean, Coach Mike has made some adjustments, planned adjustments, and
that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, definitely is.
A lot different.
Uh-huh. I mean, it just brought life. I feel like when he switched that and we came back into practice, it's just that put so much life into us.
How's he been able to do that? By managing practices? I mean, I don't think, and I may be imagining this, I don't sense that it is as much of a grind for you guys as it's been in years past.
Mm-mm.
Is that true?
It's nowhere near a grind. I mean,
you look like you're still
out.
Having fun. Most time by February, even people don't realize this. I don't want to speak for you, but even teams that are in the NCAA tournament, you get to February, and sometimes they're just done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sense that at all.
Yeah, I mean, Coach. That's why I say Coach Mike, man. You got to get at the Coach Mike and the coaching staff. I mean, they made adjustments as the year went on, and, you know, they kept us fresh. We just have life out there.
Final question. Has this whole thing been okay with you? I mean, it's been, again, it's been a journey. But when it's all said and done, you leave here, if you choose to go ahead and graduate and leave, are you okay with how everything went down? Has it been a good experience?
Most definitely. I mean,
sure, you're okay with everything?
Yeah, I look back, man, and it's all a blessing. Everything's a blessing. No matter how the wins and losses look, I mean, I had came here, I had a full ride scholarship.
Yeah.
Didn't have to pay for school. Got to play basketball. I got to play the best, you know, thing I love at the biggest stage. You know, my family got to see me. I made unbelievable relationships. I mean, I met so many amazing people just in the 4 years of me being here. I mean, so I look back, and it's all good memories in my eyes. I mean, I erase all the bad.
Wow. You know. What a great attitude.
It's been
fun having you.
Thank you.
We appreciate the time, and we'll just see what happens.
Thank you. All right.
That's Tavares Shine. Continuing our visit with Cowboys seniors, and Mitchell Solomon sits in. And what's running through your mind at the end of this journey? Because you're a thoughtful guy. I'm curious.
Yeah, and that's an interesting question because it's been a challenge. At least for me, I've been trying to wait until the end of the season to kind of reminisce and do all those things because I'm trying to concentrate on finishing the season outright and different things. It's been an interesting process the last, you know, week or so, you know, thinking about how the next time I play in GIA, it'll be my last time to play. So, you know, it's it's interesting to think about, you know, all the teams that I've been on and all those things, but right now I'm trying to focus as much as I can on winning the game on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Has it been anything like what you would have expected this whole journey?
No, not at all. You know, it's funny kind of how glorified the sport, like sports are in college, you know.
They are everywhere for that matter.
Yeah, no
sure,
doubt.
Sure, sure.
You know, because people see the game and they see numbers, you know, and that's kind of all people see. And it's been interesting to experience all that goes into it behind the scenes, you know, all the work that we put in and all the things that we go through as a team behind the, like, you know, in the locker room and out off the court that really makes this whole journey special.
I'm going to ask you a hard question. Sometimes in saying what you're saying, you encounter student athletes who will say, you know what? I'm not going to encourage my kid to do it, as it's not what they think it is. Will you encourage your kids to do it, or do you know yet? Your wife will have some say in that, obviously.
You know, I've thought about that a lot, especially with my brother coming up. You know,
yeah, because he's going to have a chance.
Yeah, he definitely has a chance to do it. And you know, it's interesting because you can't make someone do something like this. You know, it has to be something that they want to do, or they won't be successful. So I'm obviously going to push my kid to try and be an athlete, you know, whenever I have them, you know, to be athletic, because I think the being a team, you know, builds important skills in life. But to come to the college level is definitely something that they have to make the decision on their own.
Is managing your self-confidence and learning how to kind of manage how you view yourself the most important thing you've gained, not only out of playing basketball, but out of college?
Absolutely. You know, all the skills that I've gained off the court, you know, that will help me succeed in life, you know, such as leadership and all the connections that I've made and all the people that I've met, you know, are things that I try not to take for granted, because they're things that will carry, that I'll carry with me the rest of my life.
Yeah, and the thing is that when you came here, you always fought the self-confidence thing, and you were your own worst mm-hmm. enemy sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't sense that's true anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely been a hurdle that I've overcome, you know, as the years have gone on. I've gotten a little bit better at it every year, and I think that it's shown up in my game. You know, I feel I've gotten better every year, and that's always the goal, you know, to just be better than you are, better than yourself, you know, better than you were yesterday.
All right, I'm going to ask you this. I think I know how you'll answer it. There are times, I have to admit, I drive home after a game, I think, you know, I wonder sometimes if Mitch thinks, I wish people would appreciate me for all the messes I clean up, because I'm always recovering defensively and making up for a mistake, or maybe a bad angle was taken. I was trying to set a screen I was supposed to set, but who I was screening for didn't take the right angle, or the timing was off. You ever sometimes just wish, I wish people would really appreciate me for all the little dirty work I do, because, boy, I sweep more things under the rug than a janitor. I mean, I know how humble you are, but that is the truth. I mean, you ever just like, gosh, you know I foul a lot, but I know not all of them are my fault. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of being, you know, the guy that does the dirty work, you know, the little things. You know, obviously, you wish as a guy that does that everyone on your team would do that, but that's just not how teams are. You know, everyone has their role, and that role has been mine. Sometimes, you know, you might not always get all the praise that you think you might deserve, but I think that's made me a better person. You know, someone that does the right thing, even if they don't get praised, is really important in life. You know, so there, it's another example of basketball teaching me a life skill that I'll carry with me the rest of my life.
So what's your game plan after you're done playing? Because you've got some school to finish up, right?
Yeah, I've got an extra year of school. So this summer I'm looking at maybe doing an internship somewhere if I can get one, but not really forcing it, because I think I could use an extra like 2 months, you know, a summer to kind of decompress, you know, from all this. And then hopefully once I find a job after school, then I'll be able to start my career and hopefully be successful.
Well, what are you thinking career-wise? You have a precise idea engineering-wise what you want to do?
Not necessarily anything specific. My dad's, you know, been in the energy field, so being in the energy field would be cool to me. Anything kind of oil, natural gas, you know, wind, solar, all the things that have come that have made advancements recently would all be interesting to me.
You were a big Oklahoma State fan, yet you played, let's just be honest, during one of the more tumultuous times in our basketball history. Yet, it looks like there's a chance you could play in another NCAA tournament this year, and you're going to play in the postseason despite being picked to finish in last place. How do you sort of summarize your experience and kind of being here during that time and being able to endure despite of, you know, gosh, there was a lot going on?
Yeah, I've thought about that too. It's kind of a unique experience that I've had, or it's definitely a unique experience that I've had in college. But it's something that's made me a better person. You know, there's something to say for even maybe when things aren't going your way, that you can stick through it and make the most out of a bad situation, you know. And so later in my life, you know, when I have kids and hopefully bring them back here for games and stuff, I'll be able to look at, you know, the all the history and be able to say I was a part of that, you know, hopefully. And I'm biased because I really like Coach, but, you know, I hope to see Coach be here for a long time, and it'll be really cool to say I was a part of the start, you know.
Yeah.
I was a part of something that started, you know, a legacy, a dynasty.
I asked you this before the Iowa State game. This will be the last question. Tavares answered this. I sense that from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint, but definitely mentally, you guys are probably fresher than any team I can remember in a while. This time of year, teams can be just kind of ground down, even if they're winning. I don't sense that with you guys. Am I imagining that? Or no?
I think for sure. I think you're right. I think we've got a lot of bright guys on this team this year. I think we got a lot of guys that really think the game, you know, realize what our situation is and are able to process it really well. So I think that helps. But we've also done a great job of sticking together, you know, and focusing on one game at a time, because looking at the bigger picture all the time can really be exhausting.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate all you've done, Mitchell. It's been fun watching you play and fun watching you grow up. And it's one of those things. People realize how valuable you are. It's funny. You sometimes realize how valuable people are when they're not playing or not around anymore. And you've done a lot. Thank you. I hope it's been a great time for you. We've loved watching you play.
Yes, sir, it has. Thank you.
Mitchell Solomon. Kendall Smith with us now as we continue our visit with Cowboys seniors. And of course, Kendall has the unique perspective of coming here as a graduate transfer and playing here for 1 year and wrapping up his collegiate basketball experience in that way. So has this been what you hoped it would be for a one-shot deal?
Definitely. I've enjoyed my time here so much. The people, the program, the wins, and even the losses, you know, learning from those and being able to bounce back, I think is going to help me in my next step for me.
So if someone were to walk up to you considering a graduate transfer move and say, hey, all right, so how does this deal work? What do I need to know? What are the hard things about doing it? What would you tell them? If somebody said, hey, I need some advice, what are the highs and lows of doing it?
I think the first thing I'd just tell them is that you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, going into a new program, especially as a senior, you know, there's many different things that you might have to learn from, in terms of player personnel, you know, new coaching, you know, new offense, new defense. And you have to be able to take a freshman mindset. You know, you can't come in with I'm a senior, I know everything, I can't be coached, I can't let my teammates coach me. You know, that's not the right way to go about it. You have to be able to come in with a mindset that, you know, you're going to embrace learning. And I think that's one of the things that I was okay with doing, and which allowed me to be successful. So I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is just, you know, understanding that, you know, that you're only here for a year. So you have to try to make the best of it, no matter what situation you're put in, whether things are going good for you at the time or whether things aren't going good for you. Continue to be the team player, because at the end of the day, your values and your morals are going to be the things that you're remembered by.
So why here? Why was this the right place for you?
It's the best conference in college basketball. It gave myself, gave me the opportunity to prove to everyone and prove to myself that that I was capable of playing, you know, not just playing here, but playing well here. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to go out, you know, as a competitor, and I didn't want it to be easy. I wanted it to be hard. And I think if I was able to overcome this, then I'll be able to overcome anything.
So was that something kind of just, I don't know how to say this, but this kind of, was it kind of a point with you? You started at UNLV, then you went to Cal State Northridge. But was there a part of you that was saying, I need to prove to everybody else and maybe even to myself that I can play in a Power 5 league? Was that kind of rubbing at you saying, that's something I want to conquer? Was it on your mind a lot?
I wouldn't say a lot, but it was definitely something I thought about. Obviously, you know, Cal State Northridge is a great school, but it isn't, you know, it's not a Power 5 conference.
Sure.
So when the time did come that I announced it, I was reading, you know, certain things, and I seen, you know, some people saying, oh, well, he probably thinks he's a Power 5 guy. And, you know, I just laughed because I didn't think, you know, that was even up for discussion. Like, I didn't even think that we needed to talk about that. I felt like that's something I had earned. And
right.
And for people to still kind of throw that out there, I kind of felt like they didn't respect, you know, the hard work that I put in and the success that I had at Cal State Northridge. So it was definitely something that I felt that I wanted to prove, not just to them, but also to myself.
Was there anything that caught you by surprise? Of course, you'd played at UNLV, which is a very high level. Was there anything that caught you by surprise transitioning to the Big 12 about how the games played? Anything at all that was like, whoa, I didn't expect that?
I'd probably say just the physicality in terms of going to the basket and not always getting the foul call. At my last school, I think I shot like 8 or 9 free throws a game. And this year hasn't been that high, but throughout the season I learned how to adjust and I've been getting to the line more but the officiating was a little different, but
yeah.
You know, at each level you gotta adjust and you gotta understand that, you know, if you're not the household name, you might not get the call. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say, an old coach said this to me one time, the difference between a good player and a great player is the ability to finish with contact.
Absolutely.
Which is probably a lot of truth to that.
Absolutely.
A lot of what you're saying. And you can do that. So anyone who had doubts about your ability to play at this level, we could show them a bunch of clips. We could certainly show them into the Iowa State game, into the Oklahoma game, into the West Virginia game, just to name a few. You made so many big shots at the end of games. So going back to what you said about being a one-year guy, but yet willing and able to make those plays in the clutch, tell us all about that. And how does that evolve? And was there any little concern on your part as being a first-year guy of doing that? Because, like, well, wait a second. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. First, I mean, I just give honor to God in each of those situations. I don't take it as Kendall did it. You know what I mean? It was just, you know, the presence of God moving through me and my teammates who put me in position. Like for example, the end of the Oklahoma game, Mitch dove on that ball.
Yeah,
and
he sure did.
You know, if he wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have been in position to make the shot. So, I mean, there's so many factors that go into, you know, those shots and in those moments. So, you know, I'm a competitor, and you know, if the coach is wise enough to believe in me, then I believe I should believe in myself. So each time I got up there, I shot the ball with confidence, and all glory to God that it went in.
Well, and it's been awesome. So you think about those close games in particular, Iowa State down 8 with 3.5 to go, Texas down 12 with 5:55 to play, OU has the ball up 3 with less than a minute to go. You rallied and won all of them. And, of course, not to mention, you weren't in a great position at West Virginia either, and you managed to pull that game out. So I had a guy tell me from another state, and he's a good college basketball guy. He's like, oh, my gosh. After I think the Oklahoma game, so you guys are lucky. You guys have pulled those 3 games out. Well, after it happened against West Virginia, I told the guy, I said, wait a second. I said, it happens once, maybe it's luck. This has happened now 4 times. So something is going on here. So what is going on here that has allowed you to rescue some games kind of out of the fire and win them? Because, again, if it happens once, you say, well, that was luck. It happened several times. What's the deal? What's the story?
I think the first thing is us approaching the game the right way, coming into the game with the right mindset, offensively and defensively, puts us in position to make those plays and win those games. when you look back to some of our losses at home, Baylor, TCU, I don't think we came into the game with the right mindset. And obviously in this conference, you can't come in and half-step it, because then you're down 10 and, yeah, and playing catch-up. So I think for us in those games, we came in with the right mindset, offensively and defensively. We played off each other. We rebounded the ball. We got out and ran. And that put us in position to make those plays at the end. I think we have a phenomenal group of guys who play the game the right way. And, you know, when we're playing off each other, feeding off each other, we're a special group.
What's Coach Boynton's role in all of this?
I think Coach does a great job of kind of letting us be us. This is a new group, so he doesn't really try to control us too much. But at the same time, you know, he is our coach, and we respect him. We want to play hard for him. But I think he does a great job of letting us play our game and giving us the freedom and the confidence on the offense and the defensive end to make plays.
Do you notice here at the end of the year that approach helps you have maybe a fresher mindset that maybe you've had other years 1st of March? Difference?
Yeah. I think it's not so much just now in March. I think it's kind of built through the season. Him giving us that confidence and that kind of sense of relief, in terms of not, you know, always having to look over your shoulder and see.
He's not grinding you guys all the time, is he?
No, not at all. And it's funny that you say that, because I forgot. I think it was, I can't remember the game. It may have been an Iowa State game where he came in at halftime. And he broke the markers on the whiteboard and stuff like that, and kind of went off. But you know, he even said, he's like, you know, that's not really me. That's not really who he wants to be. But you know, every now and then you got to kind of light the fire under us, and I think he'll do that.
Yeah, you got to be the parent, so to speak.
Right, and he'll do a great job of finding the times when and when not to do that. And I think, you know, coming into March, you want to be kind of playing your best basketball. And I think we're at a place where we could be doing that right now.
Very good. It's been fun having you here. Yeah. And been great watching you play, and you delivered a lot of memorable moments in just your one season here. And we're glad you chose to come to Stillwater.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Kendall Smith. We continue with our seniors, and Jeff Carroll sits down with us now. And let's see if I've got this right. I see you as going from someone who came to college probably a little bit uncertain about who he was and what he could be, and now has evolved into one of the most dangerous wings in America. Mm-hmm. True?
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. Because coming in from high school, you know, just going from being the man to, you know, to like Coach Ford just telling me like you may have to sit out, you know, try to rest her and just take this year to get better, was kind of like a shock. And then like right then and there, I kind of like just trying to find myself, and was like, am I doing the right things, you know, and stuff like that. But then just slowly just really trusting the process and just trusting God to just try to figure it out.
That sitting out can be hard, because in some ways it seems to me you're a little disjointed from your teammates, mm-hmm. in that, you know, you're not traveling, you're not playing. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any doubts during that redshirt year? It's like, wow, maybe I need to be someplace else. Maybe did things run through your mind like that, or were you like, no, let's just let things play out and we'll see?
Kind of like a little bit of both. I mean, at times, because I did have the chance to, you know, I travel with the team my redshirt year and just do everything, but, you know, just checking the game. But I mean, as a young, like a young guy, just coming in, like I said, I mean, just like going from being the guy to, you know, kind of like the last option, do these people, you know, even know my name?
Yeah.
And just kind of like going from that to just seeing like what I could do better, just try to figure out like what I could do to really just I push myself every day.
So, when did can you think back to the point in time where you thought your game really took off? Was there a point in time that's like, okay, I've taken a big leap forward? When was it? And what happened?
I want to say my redshirt year, whenever we played in the Charleston Classic. And I want to say we played George Mason.
We did. That second game, semis.
Okay, yep. I got that right. So, yeah, we played George Mason. And I remember I had this – or I had to play a lot because like that was whenever Phil had a hurt.
Phil had been injured the day before. That's
okay,
correct.
Yeah, so, okay, yep. Yeah, that was right. And then so like whenever he got hurt, like Coach Ford was like, you know, be ready. Like you'll probably play like a good amount today. And I remember that first half. You know, I was just still trying to find my way, just find my groove, and like I had 0 points at the half. I remember. And in the second half, I was just like, just, you know, calm down, breathe. You know, they're humans. Just play your game. Cause I mean, like you, like Coach Trusty, like you're out here for a reason. And I remember just exploding for 18 that game. And then we lost in overtime, I believe.
Yeah, we sure did. That's exactly right.
And so, like, and I was like, I mean, like we lost as a team, but like in my head, I was like, I mean, like, you just show like your game in like basically 20 minutes because you really didn't do much, you know, the first half. So in 20 minutes, I kind of showcased, you know, like my potential, and like that right there was whenever I kind of took off.
Needed some confidence.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just seeing the ball like going to rim like does wonders. I mean, like from a layup to or from a free throw to even a three. So
how would you describe your whole journey? Really going all the way back to when you really started playing at a high level as a kid, and now to where you are today.
I mean, that just came from just seeing my dad just playing park ball, just seeing how he played with pride, and just seeing just like really how hard they played. I mean, like they were just playing a pickup game, but just how competitive it was, and just being a young kid and just seeing that, and just really toting the ball around. I mean, just everywhere. I mean, I would try to just like take a ball to school every day, and like my mom says, like, you can't do that. But I mean, just like finding that love, like from playing on those like mini Tyson goals to, you know, just finally being able to like make a shot on a 10-foot rim to, you know, playing on a team, and then you start like really training and like taking it serious to, you know, and then going to high school, and then just like because I had took off my junior year going to senior year from like getting like college looks and stuff like that, and then from then on was kind of it for me, and like I knew that like this was something that I wanted to do.
A couple of years ago, around this time, I guess it would have been 2 years ago if I'm remembering it correctly. You didn't know what was going on with you because you were sick.
Mm-hmm. No, that was.
How scared were you? Because they couldn't figure out. Because you had some. Your stomach and stuff was giving you trouble, right?
Yeah. To this day, they still never knew what it was. That was a very, very dark time in my life. I mean, I knew. I mean, it was more than basketball. Like, I was worried about my own like health, my own self-being. Because like, I had to get a colonoscopy, and like they were like this is something that you shouldn't be getting at this age, especially, you know, like you being a young guy. But I don't know what it was. It was just being in pain every day, and just going from weighing 220 to weighing 190 within a few days was just something scary.
Wow.
So I was just scared for my own well-being, just more than basketball. Because I mean, like at that time, like I just kind of had to put the basketball down. It was like I got to figure it out, or I won't be able to even get back out there and like help my team.
Well, yeah, and it's one thing, you know, and of course the basketball's minor, but it would be one thing if it was happening in the off season. You're right in the middle of conference
right
play. You're trying
season.
To figure out, can I play? Can I not? And then more importantly, forget the playing. It's like, am I well?
Exactly.
Or am I not?
Yeah, no, it was definitely like a very low point in my career. Just, I mean, in my life, you know, especially because I just didn't know what was going on. Going from a hospital to hospital, they didn't know. Seeing experts, telling them like they don't know, and like that right there, you're like, well. Okay, like, I guess.
But no problem since?
No problem since.
And it went away right at the end of that year, right? It's like suddenly you started to feel some better. Is that right?
Yeah. I want to say because I came back the West Virginia game, I remember. And, like, I remember, like, just walking in and, like, I didn't feel the same. Like, the basketball felt like a million pounds. I was like, God, this doesn't even feel good. And I remember just getting out there. And, like, I remember this one play where I drove to the rim. And like I don't get like knocked down pretty easy, but I drove and I just got hit, and like I just fell to the ground. Like I just felt everything. I was like, God, like I have no strength. Like I'm already tired. Like I've only been out here like a minute or two, and I'm about ready to fall out.
Wow. But again, toward the end of that year, it got better.
No, it did. It did. And then it slowly started going away. Cause like whenever I had came back and played that game, it was still kind of there, but I was just like, can I please just, you know, be there with the team? I mean, like, because, like, that was really all I wanted at that time.
And then last year, how much fun was that? You were healthy.
It was fun.
The team had the unbelievable run toward the middle of conference play, mm-hmm. NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. That was, like, it almost felt like a dream, because like that was never, I kind of, you know, took off here. I mean, because I came into my junior year with Coach Underwood, just kind of still trying to figure myself out at the same time, and going from like another coaching change to, you know, how does Coach Underwood operate, to who else is he bringing in? Because, you know, like I didn't know like really anything, but just like really just trying to just like trust the process and just being like just see how it is, and just play as hard as you can, like, and I'll be all right.
So what's Coach Boynton been like? What's unique about him that you like?
I like he's like a part of like the young culture, I would say, like this young wave. Like, he basically plays like the same music as us, and I think like and how social he is. I mean, like, he's the most probably I've seen, you know, like talking to fans like on Twitter, you know, just showing up at, you know, like frat houses and like sorority houses where, you know, treats. Cause I get feedback from that. And be like, hey man, like Coach Mike showed up today with, you know, Slim Chickens, you know, like we love that, you know, cause like just seeing how, you know, like selfless he is, just how, like, he always has a smile on his face, and like, he always like gets his point across whenever, I mean, he's not a yeller. He doesn't have to yell, you know, for us, you know, like to like, he, like, hear what he's saying. I mean, no, just how, just like, he's just like a normal, you know, like a normal dude. Just like, he just came into the spotlight, and he's done a great job with it.
So with that thought in mind, you mentioned the fact, and of course, I'm fortunate to get to come to some of the practice sessions. He's not a yeller
at all.
Because there doesn't seem to be as much of a grind, do you feel in a better place mentally and physically this point in the year, maybe compared to others, because of his approach, or does it matter?
Yeah, for sure. Cause I mean, like right now, like people are saying, like, I mean, it's like right now, it's just like, I love his mentality. It's just like, it's a 4-game season. Cause like, we've been riding this roller coaster all season. And like, that's really like all like we've been hearing is just like kind of like the good and the bad with it. But it's just like, I just want people to realize, you know, like, he's a great coach already, but just like, he's going to be scary, you know, later on in his career. Like, this is only his first year, and he's got all these, you know, wins over these great programs, and it's just like being a part of it, and like, and it's like just going back to day one whenever he first got hired, and like, he got his like press conference, because like that was right around like a window whenever I was trying to figure out if I wanted to stay in the draft or not. And then I remember from that press conference, whenever he kind of broke down, I was like, man, like, you know, he loves it, you know, because I could see like all the struggle just come out of him, and just realize that he made it, and like he's not gonna just take this, you know, like coaching thing for granted. But I mean, just like from day one, then like from that press conference on, I was like, I'm coming back. I have to, because I'm gonna build something special with him, you know, for his first year, and just try to like build that foundation for him, and then just he'll kind of go from there in his future.
If something different would have happened coaching wise, would you have gone to the draft? I mean, were you seriously thinking about it, or did you just kind of stick your feet in and say, nah, I don't think so?
Because this is whenever, like, how like the news about Coach Underwood came out, and like everyone basically was like kind of freaking out, like a chicken with his head cut off, basically. Yeah. Just trying to, you know, figure it out. And like at this time, like, just trying to figure out, you know, whose opinion should I really trust? And because during that whole deal, like, Coach Mike was someone that I was going to. Because I mean, like, even though last year, like we really, like, we talked, you know, because I felt like a player, you know, coach like aspect, but like we talked, but it's like just growing since like the day he's been here to like where we are now. It's just like crazy to me. But it's just, I mean, just trying to like build something special with him, like to lay that foundation. And it's just like, I'm just so like blessed to be a part of it for his first year.
That trust thing's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Final thought. So we've talked about a lot of things. You redshirted. That obviously was hard. Then you got sick with whatever was going on with your stomach, and that was hard. And you got through that. You've had 3 coaches in 3 years. Of course, you had to sit out the first 3 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might have at some point said, oh, to heck with this, or they just can't function very well because it's become too much.
Yeah.
What got you through all those things that seemed to just come one after the other that came at you? What got you through it?
It's really trusting the process. I mean, I did like a lot of praying and like a lot of soul searching during that time, because I mean, I was going through a pretty like rough time going from playing those preseason games, you know, like finally, you know, just trying to just show the country, you know, show Cowboy Nation, like, the country that, like how special that we can be. Because I know, like, me, like, with, you know, Juwan, Phil, like, Layton leaving, like, the whole core from last year leaving and just going from, like, just really, like my whole thing was just trying to prove people wrong this year. That's basically what I wanted to do, because I'm getting, like, a lot of things, like, oh, well, is he going to be the same, you know, like, without Juwan, without Phil around him? And, like, that was basically the biggest, like the biggest, like, question I was getting. I was, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I'm, like, I was very, like, blessed to play with him, but I was, like, I'm also, like, me. Like, yeah. I'm Jeff Carroll. Like, why not, like, see Jeff Carroll, you know, like, lead the Cowboys, you know? It doesn't have to be, like, well, what if this, what if that? But, I mean, just, like, just starting off kind of rough, because, I mean, those first couple games, or, like, my debut, it wasn't pretty, and, like, just coming out and just, like, not really, I guess, playing, like, how I thought it was going to be, because I thought I was going to come out and, you know, go off, you know, just try to show the country, like, hey, like this suspension really didn't bother me. I mean, it is what it was with that, but just try to show the country, like, hey, I'm back. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I'll take this team to great heights. But, no, Coach Mike was a big, like a big part of that, because, like, we talked a lot during that thing, too, and just like, talked to him, Coach, like, I don't know. Like, just kind of going to him, like, I mean, like, I don't know, like what to do, Coach. I don't know what to think. Like, it's hard to practice. Like, it's hard to even sleep at night. And he was like, man, just trust it. Just trust me, and, like, oh, you'll be all right.
You know, it's nobody wants to be picked last mm-hmm. in anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a darn good motivator, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is, for sure. Because I remember, like, whenever that first came out, because, I mean, like, Coach Mike, he said a few times during his, like, media things, like, people are kind of shocked that we don't suck. And, like,
I know, I remember him saying
like,
that.
It's like people, I mean,
and
like,
you guys probably love that he said that.
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah, you darn right, Coach. That's
it
right.
It is from, but like from all the preseason, like little predictions. I mean, like that's why, like, they're called predictions. I mean, like, you can try to say what, like, try to think, or, like, say what you think is going to happen, but it doesn't automatically mean that it's going to happen. But I like since, like, he said that, really. I mean, it's like, at the same time, it's like, I mean, hey, we are in the Big 12, you know, like, we would give, you know, like other teams in the, you know, like, country, you know, problems. So, I mean, like, we're playing in, like, the toughest league in America. But, I mean, it's just like, I mean, like that was kind of like our whole deal. It's just like, hey, like we got to prove, you know, that, like, we're all this one, and just like let's show the country that, like, you know, like, we have a great, you know, first year coach, and like we're still, like, very capable, you know, of winning, you know. But no, I think it was just like, people are just surprised that, like we didn't just get blown out by 20 every night.
Well, some might have thought when you first got here, well, he redshirted, how good is he going to be? And mm-hmm. then he gets sick, can he bounce back from that? And
mm-hmm.
how's he going to be this year without Juwan? And 1,300 and some odd points later, here you sit.
Here I sit.
Pretty good run.
Pretty good run. I mean, I'm so thankful for the people I met, and just, and, like, it's just crazy, just like coming in my freshman year, it's like you come in, and then, like, and like you see the seniors, and, like, they're like, man, enjoy it, man, it flies by quick. You're like, nah, man. You're like, no way. Like, I mean, like, it's 4 years, it's a long time, but it's like, I mean, time, like really flies, like, whenever you're having fun. And it's been one crazy ride, but I love it, though.
Been fun watching you grow up and battle through all the things you've dealt with. So mm-hmm. congratulations. It's been good.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Carroll.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.